You're listening to Monday Morning Live, part of the We Love Where You Live podcast series brought to you by the Michigan Municipal League.
Hello, welcome to another edition of Monday Morning Live. I am Matt Bach, Director of Communications for the Michigan Municipal League. And this is, once again, Monday Morning Live, the Facebook stream, and also Monday Morning Live, the podcast. And today I'm joined by a first-time guest on our show, with MML employee, Shanna Graham. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.
What's your title with us these days?
I am the director of the Policy Research Labs.
Policy Research, that sounds fancy.
Doesn't it? I know. We make that up.
Do we have like beakers and like...
That's right. We do all sorts of experiments. And no, it is... It used to be what was the Civic Innovation Labs.
Okay.
And kind of mixed with my old division, which was the research group. And we merged last year. And the idea is that it's... just that, looking at sort of innovative or cutting edge or new areas of
policy.
That's great. So one of the things that you're undertaking this year is a series of policy forums that we're having. We had one just recently. Tell us a little bit about those policy forums and why we're doing it.
Yeah, so we're doing these policy forums. They're kind of modeled on a series we did like this about a decade ago when we were kicking off our placemaking work.
Okay.
And we brought together a small group of our members to kind of hear from leading speakers on the topic and think about what are some of the policy implications. And as we started looking at what are some of the things that are coming down the pike now that our cities are already and villages are already starting to realize and deal with, things like technology change, we thought this would be a good moment in time to kind of look out and take a really long view, like a 20-year view out, 20 to 30-year view out, and say, what are some of the big drivers of change that our municipalities are going to be facing? And what does that look like? So we've done the same thing. We've invited in a group of, a kind of a small group of our members so that we can have a pretty deep and engaging conversation about these issues. And we've asked a series of speakers across several topics. We'll have four of them in total.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So the first one was kind of on the future. And
yep.
We had a futurist come in. That
we
was
did.
In Detroit. And like you said, the ones we had 10 years ago really kind of shaped the direction of the league for the last decade.
Yep.
And so you kind of view these as shaping us, like you said, the next 10 or 20 years.
Yeah,
so
I think
tell us about
were.
The futurists and what yeah. some of the kind of lessons learned that people had.
Sure, yeah. So our first one was about 2 weeks ago in Detroit. It was kind of laying the groundwork on that. What are the future trends for Michigan in terms of, you know, our population change? What does that look like? What are some of the key economic changes that we'd see? How's work and the workforce going to change in the next 20 to 30 years? And,
right.
you know, these are all things that affect our communities, both in terms of who they're hiring, who they're attracting, trying to retain in their communities. And so we started the day off with a woman who is an architect and a futurist, which is a real job title.
How do I get that title?
I know.
Cool.
You can get a degree in it, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Sure.
Who knew? You can go getting a degree to be a futurist.
So like a meteorologist, if you're right, you know, 75% of the time,
probably.
It's okay.
It's probably right, yeah. So she kind of laid out some of these big global trends that
okay.
are, you know, coming down the pike, things like technology, climate.
And kind of the impact on cities, I assume.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And what that means for cities going forward. So,
all right.
So that was our first one. And then the next few are actually kind of focused more on specific topics. So our next one is in December, and
okay.
it's going to be focused on technology.
All right.
And smart cities, if you're familiar with that term. So
we'll probably talk about like autonomous vehicles and things like that.
Yep, autonomous vehicles, things like cryptocurrency.
I don't know what that is.
It's, you know, think of like online.
Like Bitcoin?
Yeah, well, that, but also just you're ordering things online and you're never actually exchanging cash or things like that.
It's like saying cryptocurrency.
Yeah, I know. It's a fun word, isn't it?
It's cool.
A lot of transportation-oriented things,
yeah.
but also cybersecurity, which a lot of our communities are already wrestling with and dealing with now.
Right,
so
how
is technology shaping, you know, the opportunities that our cities are going to have, but also what are the things that we need to be preparing for.
Okay, good. And
yeah.
then we have two more in early next year sometime.
We do, yep. Again, in February and then in April, one that will be focused on climate change and kind of resource issues. So what are some of the projections for how Michigan and the Midwest sort of shake out under various climate scenarios? What does that mean, not only in terms of us being resilient and adapting to that, but maybe what are some of the opportunities that come with that too, as people start to flee other places that are no longer that habitable because, you know, they're really, really hot or dry or whatever it might be. What does Michigan potentially offer and what will we need to do to kind of plan for that and think about that?
Right. There's a lot of talk about how Michigan, like, if there's like some kind of worldwide problem or global thing that Michigan, because of all this natural water resources, will be kind of the place to go.
Right. Yeah. People like to talk about Michigan and all of our water, for example, and they worry, oh, well, they're going to come put a big straw or a big pipe and take the Great Lakes. But really, the water use issues that are probably going to be the biggest issue in Michigan is not that someone's going to put a pipe in and take it. It's that we're going to have, you know, industries that come here that are very water intensive as they start to leave other places or growth and development that might impact that. And so how do we monitor that? How do we think about that? And how do we make sure our regulations are kind of keeping pace with that as we look out at the future?
Okay, well, cool. Yeah. It's a really exciting event.
Yeah.
And a lot of the staff has been involved. We appreciate your work. Is that the flyer?
This is the flyer for it. And
okay.
It just kind of gives a little overview of it. But it's a great event. We're excited. And I think we're going to have some really fantastic speakers and a lot of good discussion.
All right. Well, Shanna, thank you for joining us.
Thanks,
you did
Matt.
Great.
Thanks.
It was easy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can do this.
Thank you. All right. So when we're I'm going to be switching out here to have our next two guests come on. While we're doing that, I just want to put a reminder that please feel free to comment or ask questions that you have for us in the comments field on this Facebook feed, and we'll answer them as they come in, or if you post the comments later after we've already aired live, then you can we'll respond to you on Facebook as soon as we see your comments, and we'll try to get you an answer to that. So I'm right now joined by Jennifer Rigdrink and Chris Heckbarth, two oldies, I guess, to the Monday.
Just call me old.
Oldies. Online.
That's all right, isn't it? Chris likes it. So, no, but, you know, often guests, frequent guests on the podcast, so, and the Monday Morning Live Facebook stream. So thank you for joining us. We'll start off, we've got a lot of different things happening. Start a little bit with you, Chris. We had a big event with our municipal caucus where we kind of focus on revenue sharing and municipal finance. Tell us a little about that event that happened.
Yeah, so this term, it's been kind of interesting with the legislature. We've got probably the largest cohort in memory, certainly, of legislators with municipal backgrounds, either mayors, managers, council members, municipal department heads. So we're organizing those folks and talking to them, trying to get them engaged a lot more on our issues. So we brought them in a little over a week ago and had a really good in-depth panel conversation digging into revenue sharing and talking about why we have revenue sharing, where it came from, that it's not just some gift that the legislature gives to local units, but that there's a reason it's there.
Right.
And some good speakers, again, talking from the different aspects of what do the numbers look like, kind of the whole disinvestment conversation we've been having for the last couple of years under our Save My City program, but also, you know, the why. Why is it there? Why do we have revenue sharing? What's the importance of it? And what do communities use it for? So it was a really good in-depth conversation. We had legislators there. We had their staff, some central staff from both chambers and all four caucuses. So it was a good debate. And we expect to kind of continue this. We'll do some more of these, talking about Headley and Proposal A and some of these other really important issues that are pretty complex and require a lot of understanding. And again, with term limits and the whole conversation with term limits and the changeover in legislators, we're doing that education frequently. So having people on the inside of the caucuses who understand it and who can talk to their colleagues as well as us is important.
So it seemed like a good event. There's some good questions that they ask, and there was some history. It was a Jim Stansel. He was from the State House
Fiscal Agency.
Yeah, he presented kind of the history of it, and there was things that I didn't really quite understand until I heard him, and I thought he did an excellent job. So talking about budget-related stuff, what's the latest? You know, usually by now we're way done with the budget, but it's kind of like the thing that won't go away this year.
Yeah. It's what is it?
It's almost November.
Yeah. Budget started October 1st.
Yeah.
We obviously talked about the $1.5 billion plus worth of vetoes or fund shifts that took place, and we've had weekly meetings between leadership and the governor's office that so far haven't produced anything other than some new bills being introduced, kind of displaying each side's priorities.
Yeah.
I think the governor's office and leadership have a common understanding of things that they would like to restore, but no agreement yet between the two sides on how they're going to go about doing it and what the final product will look like.
Okay.
You know, we are hearing that the end of the month, end of October, is kind of a deadline when funding from the last year runs out. And so once that happens, I think things will get a little more critical for certainly people who are utilizing some of the programs that were cut.
Right.
And so I think there's a lot of us in town who feel that that might lend some urgency to the negotiations once we hit that point that money truly runs out for college students who are in school or people in nursing and hospital programs.
Right.
So, like I said, but it's, we're all kind of in a holding pattern waiting.
Interesting. So, yeah, it's been, you, I think you've said before, this really, you've never seen anything like this as far as.
This is unique. People have been in town, 20, 30 years, not seeing anything like this. So, the departments, the administration is going to start building their next budget here in the next, 30 to 45 days for the coming year.
Okay.
Because the governor will have to present that in February.
Mm.
So, we're not even done with kind of figuring out what this year's budget looks like, and they're going to start turning around and producing the next one soon. So.
Okay.
There's a lot that's going to be happening, and we'll find out hopefully more in the next couple of weeks.
All right. Well, good. Well, Jen, you have a couple different issues that we wanted to talk to you about. One was you recently went to a housing summit in Traverse City.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that and what kind of the lessons learned, and particularly, with the focus on the impact on our members, things that you
Yeah,
came
so
about.
This was the annual housing summit that Networks Northwest puts on. That's the Council of Government up there, the COG.
Yeah.
And there were over 200 people. It was great. They're really talking about a real breadth of issues with housing, from the issue of folks who, there's a lot of employers up there with good paying jobs, and folks aren't being able to find housing close to those jobs,
right.
To seniors who are in homes that are probably too big for them, but it's more affordable for them to stay in those homes than to downsize into a smaller space or an assisted living type of situation. To there were a couple of developers up there talking about development and conversations around the current tools at the state and federal level, and is it that we really do need new tools, or is it that we're not utilizing certain
right.
tools?
Is it people who are not maybe necessarily aware of the programs that are out there? Is that kind of what
some
of,
yes. Yeah, that was some of the conversation. A lot of about stacking financing for filling gaps. There was some interesting a presentation by the Land Bank and how looking at using TIF for redevelopment to
okay.
fill gaps. That I'm interested in learning more about and how our members might be able to look at that as well.
But the affordable housing issue in general, particularly in our major cities, it's everywhere. It's not just like a one pocket area of the state or anything like that. I mean, every city's kind of dealing with this, right?
Yeah. I think that and just their stock, their housing stock, the age of it or the type of it, is it actually fulfilling the need in their community mm-hmm. and what people are looking for?
Okay. Well, interesting. And the other big thing that we always ask you about is your favorite topic. I don't know if it is your favorite topic. I'm saying it's your favorite topic. Is the marijuana issue, recreational, medical. And there's a big deadline coming up this week, right?
More so that the state is going to start accepting adult use applications for recreational establishments.
On
and
November
1st. Yep. So communities need to have either opted out, even if that's on a temporary basis, while they're getting their regulations put in place, or if an application comes in and a community has not opted out and that applicant meets all the requirements, the state has no reason not to issue that license.
Okay. All right. So
just making sure people are aware that
right.
they're going to start accepting those November 1st. They're going to be looking at applicants for a majority of the license types have to already have a medical license.
Okay.
And so that means they have most likely will pass a background check and the finance capital requirements fairly easily because they've already looked at them. It's going to go back and be just checking that information.
Yeah.
And then the micro business, and I believe the retailers, you have to be for the first 2 years a Michigan resident.
Oh, so they want people just coming in, setting up shop.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think they'll be able to work through those applications a lot quicker than we saw them being able to go through when the MMFLA started for the medical license.
Medical, yeah.
Yeah.
You like the the acronyms. I can't keep them straight. For our members, you think most of them are pretty much already decided, at least temporarily, what they're going to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, I think a majority of them have decided. I was in just Muskegon Heights last Monday night at a work session for their council where they opted to opt out on a temporary basis because they are still working on getting their zoning regulations in place and adopted. And so while they get those finalized, they have opted out just to make sure that if an application were to come in, they have their ducks in a row.
All right. Interesting. So so when will people start be able to walk into a store and buy products?
Well, my crystal
just
ball.
Ask for a friend.
Sometime,
for Chris,
I would
actually.
Think.
Why do you always
kind of
light her up?
Oh, geez, that's terrible.
I think sometime. It's going to be next year.
Okay.
But probably, you know, early next year, March, April. Is a good guesstimate. Once an application comes in, the state has, I believe it's 90 days to respond and react to that. So, I mean, that gives, that pushes that out.
And well, as we've heard, Andrew Brisbois, who's the kind of the head of the marijuana unit, I guess, at the state, he said that, you know, that one of the first things they'll look at is whether the city's opted out. And obviously that causes for immediate denial if they have.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Well, thank you, Jen, and thank you, Chris. Any of the other issues, hot button issues I need to be talking about?
No, I think, you know, there's, you know, the legislature, obviously, since the leadership's still working on budget, but the rest of the chambers are starting to ramp up their activities. So we're seeing a lot more committee work. I know Jen's been in committee. John testified last week on some transportation bills. We have some more hearings up this week on issues that are important to our members, like stormwater authorities and basement liability, basement flooding liability. We've been in on the Good Jobs for Michigan extension, so that program. So there's a lot of things going on. Certainly members are encouraged to stay up to date by subscribing to our Inside 208 blog.
Yep.
So on the MML website, just subscribe to Inside 208. That's our legislative blog. And you'll get up-to-date emails from us every time an issue is happening or we receive information the departments are trying to share with members. So it's an important resource for communities.
A couple other little quick things I wanted to mention is one of the things we're doing is the league's Anthony McGinney has been going around with the Secretary of State announcing the new, I guess it's the Redistricting Commission, and he's been part of a series of press conferences. He participated in one in Detroit last week, and he's in two tomorrow, I believe, in Grand Rapids and Traverse City. And the Secretary of State's office actually reached out to us through you, Chris, I believe, asking us to participate in this for that our members could potentially be involved on this commission. Is that right?
Certainly. I know the department, the secretary is looking to make sure everyone is aware that the application period is open. This commission will be created. Obviously, we have the census coming up next year. Yep. That will lead to a whole redistricting process that will be new under the new laws. So, you know, and part of that is this citizen commission that will be doing the drafting of those maps.
Okay.
So, you know, secretary's encouraging people to participate.
Yeah, and related to that, we're also doing quite a bit behind the scenes and in front of the scenes, I guess, if that's a thing, on the census stuff. Our own Callie Warren is involved on that group and really informing our members about some of the changes coming up with the 2020 census, which is a really big, important issue to our members.
Absolutely. Correct count, an accurate count, a full count is so important to communities from a state and a federal perspective.
Okay. And the last thing I thought was important is obviously next week is elections for many of our cities, and the league will have a series of newly elected trainings right after that that you can find again at our website, mml.org. So if you're watching this and you're a new council member or going to be a new council member or city official or village official, we're doing a training about all the things you need to know as an elected official. So please go to our website for that. So with that, I think that's everything. Thank you guys for joining us. Thank you, Shanna, who's sitting in the room but not on camera anymore, for coming. And once again, thanks for joining us on Monday Morning Live. Our next episode will be on November 11th. Until then, we'll see you. Matt Bach, thank you.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.